We do now have the great privilege to hear the very last chapter of the book of Romans as we conclude that book in our serial readings. We're in Romans 16, and we will read verses 1 through 27. Romans 16, 1 through 27. Romans 16, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is in Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I'm rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus, be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so do Lucius and Jason and Sospater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greets you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you, and Quartus, the brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. So again, here is Paul who concludes this great letter to the Romans. We see him naming many people, his knowledge and remembering them and putting their names in the book shows his love for the church of Jesus Christ, for the people of God. The church in Rome here is encouraged to receive, in the very first line, Phoebe, to love her, to care for her, because she has cared for her fellow man. Receive her, it says, in the Lord. It's much like what we've heard in chapters 14 and the beginning of 15. The Lord has welcomed her Therefore, we are to accept and welcome her too, no matter our differences. The greeting to Prisca and Aquila, we see how they served the church. Even in their serving Paul, they served all the churches of the Gentiles. Thus, all of us here ought to be thankful, not only for the work of the Lord through the Apostle Paul, but even thankful to the Lord of how He worked through this married couple. Because we have come about 2,000 years later, believing the gospel, worshiping the Lord this day because of some of the work that they have done together in the Lord. And we see these little tidbits of people who aren't very well known. The ones we've mentioned so far are fairly well known, but the rest are really not. Epaphroditus, the first convert in Asia, married the hard worker Andronicus and Junius, fellow prisoners, because of their testifying of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. Amphiletus, Urbanus, and Stichus, their close companions and fellow workers with Paul. And the list goes on and on of all these people who have served the Lord in different areas of life, some very simply, some in more pronounced places and doing more pronounced things. But a theme through all of it is we see this repeated phrase, they worked hard in the Lord. They didn't just work hard. They worked hard in the Lord. You must ask the question of yourself, are you one who works hard in the Lord? It's clearly what it is saying. Are you engaged in the diligent labors to see that the gospel is being proclaimed, whether in your house, whether at your workplace, wherever you go? Are you diligent in your labors to see that the gospel is being proclaimed? And yet at the end of this letter, we are warned, verse 17, to watch out for those who work to cause division within the church. And so that verse especially charged to us elders, those who do stir up division. He says, such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ. And so I also charge to each one of us, if you begin to stir up division, he says here, you are slaves, not of our Lord Christ. They cause dissensions by their smooth and flattering speech in which they deceive hearts of the unsuspecting. And so, beloved, we are also even here called to grow in our faith, grow in sanctification, so that we won't be unsuspecting and be deceived. And yet there are great things to praise the Lord for in His work in the saints, because they're obeying the Lord. And Paul tells them that. Verse 19. Then he says to them, I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. And we need to take that to heart as well. Be wise in what is good, innocent in what is evil. And then a great comfort and hope, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Under your feet, beloved. He's speaking to the church there in Rome. Under your feet, Satan will be crushed. And it applies to each of us here. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. What a great comfort that gives us and hope for the future, soon when He will do that. And then the final greeting, praise to the Lord given for the obedience of the people. May the Lord grant us to be hard workers and servants of Him, for Him. And may He grant that we be united and not stir up division in the church. And may He lead us to obedience in faith. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You once again for Your great comfort that You give throughout the Scriptures. We see as we've gone through the Scriptures in many various places so far in the past few years. And You continue to give us hope. You continue to comfort us. Even here, soon, promising soon to crush Satan. What a great hope that we have and comfort. And we long for that day when You will crush Satan and he will be destroyed. He'll be sent down into hell. forever and ever. Even now we know that he is locked up, and that the spread of his will and the holding back of the gospel is not being done because he's locked up. We thank you that the gospel is going forth, that we have heard, many of us here have heard and believed unto salvation. Father, we ask that you would do that final work upon Satan, that one that is eternal forever and ever, that we would be tempted, at least from him, to sin no more, at which point we know that at that same time that you will bring us into glory and perfect us, and there will be no more sin or tears or sorrows. We will be with you face to face with Jesus forever. Father, we look forward to this, to how in union with Christ you will crush Satan under our feet. Father, we thank you that you have provided for us righteousness in Christ. You have grown us in faith and obedience to you, just as we praise the Lord that, as Paul did here in the letter to the Romans, the Church of Rome, so Lord, we praise you for growing us in our sanctification, cleansing us of our sin, putting on us, clothing us with righteousness. Father, we also praise you that so far as we can tell, at least for the most part, we are at least a congregation which is united. There's little to none division, little to no division. And yet, Father, we pray for our the church worldwide, we pray for our denomination, that you would bring us to a unity in the truth. Because that's where we know unity is found. Unity is found in you and in your word. And so, Father, grow us together, even as a denomination, that we would love you above all things, that we would not love the things of this world, that we would not be man-pleasers, but that we would please you. Lord, work this in us. Lord, we plead your mercy because, Father, we are going to fail. We plead for your grace that you would sanctify us in these things. Lord, we thank you that you have given us these servants in the past 2,000 years ago here, as Paul relates it to us, as you relate it through Paul to us. Servants who have you have used to benefit us today. We thank you for their service. Thank you for the service through the saints throughout the ages. And we pray that we would be saints, of which you would use to benefit those who come after us. And you would work all things together for their good, just as you've worked all things together for our good. Because you love us. And because you love us, we ask that you would be merciful and gracious to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.